Hello and welcome to this 21st episode of Living Off the Grid in the City. This is your host, Hector Vladimir. In this beautiful sunny Georgia day here in December the 15th, 2015. It is right now about 69, 70 degrees, and it's only 11 in the morning in the month of December. So thanks to global warming, we have pretty warm weather here in the midst of winter.
Edited and updated June 10th, 2024.
And I am not complaining, but it's quite disturbing that it had to take so much pollution and so much destruction throughout the world for me in this little part of the earth to have some nice weather. To go right into the topics of today, I will be discussing quite a few to begin to wrap up, or already wrapping up, this theme for the radio show of Living Off the Grid in the City. It has been a very exciting, interesting, and learning experience for me. I hope it has been for you if you have been listening to many of the past shows. And we'll keep on learning, going over many of the good information that can be used to get off the grid. I want to, like I said, cover a few topics, and they include transportation, entertainment, communication, and defecating, aka shitting, while off the grid. First, I would like to cover transportation. Transportation is a very, very important and critical part for everyone, not only those on the grid, but also those attempting or off the grid already. Transportation is vital for humans, period. We need to move around. We need to go places very often. Our ancestors, many thousands of years ago, were constantly on the move, and it was a necessity back then, since agriculture and technology was in such low or non-existent state, and food growing and all that stuff was basically non-existent, thus obliging us to move from area to area looking for food, looking for better weather, looking for better places to live. So transportation is within us, has been within us for millennia, and it is likely not to go away, at least in the near foresight, near future. So transportation is a necessity, even if you get off the grid. And here are a few ways that can help you out to get off the grid while maintaining your ability to move around and use transportation. You can go electric. That is the most preferred way of being off the grid, the conventional grid system, and remain mobile. Yes, it is expensive. Yes, it is effort and resource consuming, as you would have to most likely purchase an electric vehicle, and it would even be more time, energy, resource, and funds consuming if you were to rig or modify, for example, a gas car to an electric one, or even build one from scratch, which it is, however possible, it is damn difficult. So an electric car is a real option now, much more now than before. There are several models to choose from, several automakers. The Nissan Leaf is a somewhat affordable vehicle that can be used as an electric vehicle. Electric vehicles, by the way, are vehicles that do not use any sort of fossil fuel, any sort of fuel as far as chemical fuel. They use electric power and electric charge to run. They usually store this charge in batteries, and they are used to power a motor or motors within that car. So they can go ahead and move the wheels, thus providing you with the ability to use the car and move around. So electric cars are a real option. Like I said, there's the Nissan Leaf, the Tesla cars. There are a few models which are much more expensive and less affordable. I just pulled up a list here online about some of the electric cars out there on the market, and they even have some pricing, which are probably more or less accurate. The Audi A3 e-tron, which has a 30-mile range, and it's an electric and gasoline hybrid. It is not a true EV or electric vehicle. It is a hybrid vehicle, but it's somewhat in the affordable range at $37,900 for many people here in the Americas. not by far most people, but many people can afford that, especially with a good financing plan, which I highly do not recommend. Any kind of tying into a grid, especially with banks paying finance charges and fees and all kinds of dealership charges. But if you have the cash, by all means, I do recommend you highly consider this electric vehicle revolution that is going on right now. The BMW i3 is a pure electric or a true EV. It's got 81 miles range on one charge, according to this website, pluginCars.com. The sticker price is $43,300. Again, somewhere within the affordable range for a lot of people. BMW X5 xDrive 40e is a plug-in hybrid electric gasoline vehicle. $64,000. It's only got 13 miles range on electric only, apparently. The Cadillac ELR is a hybrid at a non-affordable rate price of $76,000. Chevrolet Spark EV is a true electric vehicle, which I'm surprised to see from Chevy, at $26,000. And it's got an 82-mile range on electric only, which is very refreshing to see. The Chevy Volt, which is not a true electric vehicle, but a hybrid vehicle, electric and gasoline, has got a 53-mile range on electric only, quite high, and is at an affordable price of $34,000, according to the website. The Fiat 500e has got a sticker price of $32,600. And 87 miles on electric charge only. The Ford C-Max Energy, which has got 20-mile range on electric only, but it's a hybrid vehicle, electric and gasoline, at $32,600, somewhat affordable. The Ford Focus Electric, 76 miles on electric only, and it's got a $29,200 sticker price, and this is a true EV. The Ford Fusion Energy, electric and gasoline hybrid, 20-mile range on electric only, and it's got a $35,600 sticker price. Honda Accord plug-in hybrid, 13 miles on electric only, $40,700, a little outside of the affordable range for most people. Hyundai Sonata plug-in hybrid, 27 miles on electric only, hybrid for gasoline and electric, and it's got a somewhat affordable price of $35,400. Kia Soul electric vehicle. It's got a 93-mile, quite impressive, pure electric, so it's a true EV at $34,500, somewhat on the affordable range. The Mercedes B-Class electric drive, it's about time Mercedes jumped in to the electric vehicle revolution at 85 miles range on pure electric, $42,400 is the sticker price outside of most people's affordability. Mitsubishi iMiEV or iMyEV, 62 miles on pure electric. It's a very small car, but it is quite affordable at $23,800 for a pure electric. And of course, as I mentioned, the Nissan Leaf, 84 miles on pure electric. True EV, $29,800, somewhat affordable. Porsche Cayenne SE Hybrid. Again, a hybrid electric gasoline car, 14 miles on electric, $78,000, well outside of most people's wallet. Porsche Panamera SE Hybrid, a car, 15 miles on electric, and it's a electric gasoline car, well outside of anybody's affordability range, with $100,000 sticker price. The Smart Electric Drive, 68 miles on pure electric, it's a true EV. $25,700, a lot of money for such small two-door mini car, but it's nevertheless somewhat affordable. Tesla Model S, 265-mile range on pure electric, outside of most people's affordability, at $71,000. Toyota Prius plug-in hybrid, it's a plug-in hybrid, 11 miles on electric only, $30,800, a little outside of affordable, but nevertheless, not that much. The Volkswagen e-Golf, 83 miles on pure electric, $36,300 sticker price. Not too bad, although quite expensive. The Mercedes C350 plug-in hybrid, 20 miles on electric, not a true EV, and apparently it's not on the market yet. And there are about 6 to 8 more cars, most of them being quite outside of the affordable price of most.
This is an updated list for June 2024 on the most affordable electric vehicles in the US market. And this list is provided by CNET.com. The first vehicle on the list is the Chevrolet Bolt EV 1LT, listed at $27,495. They list the pros as being compact, city-friendly design, spacious interior, uncomplicated technology. The cons for the vehicle listed is the production ended last year, so the availability is very limited, and it has slow DC charging. The efficiency for the vehicle is 28 kilowatt hours per 100 miles, or 120 mpge, that's miles per gallon electric. The listed range is 259 miles. It features an Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, and the IRA, that's the Inflation Reduction Act qualification, is listed as $7,500. The second most affordable vehicle that they have on the list is the 2023 Chevrolet Bolt EUV 1LT, listed at $28,795. The pros of it is that it's got an excellent urban driving range. It can be had with GM Super Cruise hands-free highway assist. The cons is slow charging speed, which discourages long road trips. Production has ended and is limited in supply. Some of the additional features on the vehicle: efficiency is 29 kilowatt hours per 100 miles, or 115 mpge. The range is 247 miles per charge. It features a Super Cruise highway assist, Android Auto, Apple CarPlay. The IRA qualification is $7,500. Next one on the list is the 2024 Nissan Leaf S at $29,280. The pros of it is reasonably efficient and inexpensive to operate. It has front and central charging ports, ideally located. The cons: smallish battery and low range. DC charger uses less common CHAdeMO connection. Additional attributes of this vehicle is its efficiency at 30 kilowatt hours per 100 miles, or 111 mpge, that has a range of 149 miles per charge, and it has no IRA qualification. Next on the list is the 2023 Mini Cooper Electric SE at $31,895. The pros of it: it is extremely fun, according to the list. It is compact and city-friendly. The cons are its short range, even for this list. The efficiency is 31 kilowatt hours per 100 mile, or 110 mpge, that is 114 miles per charge. It has no IRA qualifications. Next on the list is going to be the last, because this is the last vehicle on this list that is less than $40,000, is the 2024 Hyundai Kona Electric SE at $34,050. The pros as of this list is that it's larger and more stylish than before. It has upgraded 100 kilowatt DC fast charging. The cons are that its most affordable based model only offers 200 miles per charge. Additional attributes are its efficiency, 29 kilowatt hours per 100 miles, that is 116 mpge. The range for this vehicle is 200 miles. The IRA qualification is none.
Hybrid vehicles are the next big thing, and they are out on the market right now. So do consider those for you to be off the grid and maintain your ability to move around and transport yourself from one place to another. So going electric is a true alternative to be off the grid and still be able to have a car and move around. Go also alternative fuel. Again, a hybrid is the next best thing from an electric car, a true EV. So I won't get mad at you if you go alternative fuel, such as E85, even some vegetable oil diesel. They have many conversion kits out there. Not sure how real they are, but there are many models of vehicles that do run on used vegetable oil, which can be relatively easily purchased. Another option some people, not many, some people have, is to build a vehicle. When I say build a vehicle, it may be to heavily modify a gas vehicle, liquid fuel vehicle, into an electric or even another type of fuel vehicle such as propane. You can, it is a possibility to modify a vehicle to run on propane. Research it, it's out there. You can build your own vehicle from scratch if you have the engineering prowess and the facilities and skills and the resources to do so. If you do this, help others do the same, you may be able to start your own vehicle car company. It is a possibility, however difficult it may be. The next best thing from an electric or alternative fuel vehicle is a high efficiency vehicle. Downsize. You can, if you're able, you can purchase a new higher efficiency vehicle. If you have a pickup truck, you don't really need, because you don't really need to carry that many things around so often. You can downsize to a small vehicle, four-door, two-door, three-door vehicle that uses a lot less fuel. Even if it's just a car that's the same, that's got a V8, you will still be using less fuel than if you have a big pickup truck, as those full-size trucks that are so popular here in North America. But preferably a smaller car. The smaller the car, the better. If you were able to, for example, buy or acquire in one way or another a smart car, those are, I believe, the most efficient fuel vehicles on the road right now. That is the brand Smart. Look them up. They are tiny. Nevertheless, their fuel efficiency is probably the highest out there. There are many small Hondas, Civics, Accords that get 30, 40 miles per gallon. Look those up. Toyota has many cars such as the Prius and other models that do get 30 and 40 plus miles per gallon. Look them up, research them, get them if you're able. You can also get some of the American models. Ford, Chevy's got some tiny vehicles that you can get and do the next thing from getting off the grid with an electric vehicle, which is increase your efficiency. Remember, getting off the grid does not mean 100%. You may not be able to ever achieve 100% off the grid. Not you, not anyone, to my belief. So you can be satisfied with doing the best you can and having an efficient vehicle, if that's what you can afford and handle at the moment. The next best thing from using a very high efficiency vehicle is to use muscle power to transport yourself, to move around, move about. What do I mean by muscle power? I mean walking, bicycling. If you live in an area where it's got a lot of water channels, rivers, streams, you can use a boat to get around and row your way to the next town or to your job, place of work. This may sound funny to many, but to some it is really a possibility. You can also limit your trips outside of the house. You can work from home if that's a possibility for you. You can plan out your week, your month, your year. That way you don't have to do so many trips. Stop buying so much, so that way you don't have to use as much gas and energy, or even electric power or muscle power. You don't constantly have to be going to places. You can make it worth the most possible when you go somewhere. You can, like they say, kill many birds with one shot by planning. Do a lot of planning. You can ride your bicycle, like I said. I do very often in the spring, summer, and fall here in the southeastern region of the U.S. when the weather is okay. You can do the next best thing from using muscle power, and it's to ride a small moped. If that is a possibility, be careful with other drivers, especially those in big vehicles that pay very little attention. There are many safety concerns involved with motorcycle and moped riding, so do consider and take those into account. Again, walking is a very attractive and very health advantageous thing to do. To remain off the grid to the best of your ability, you can limit trips to other places by having energy savings in the back of your mind at all times. Planning and just being smart about what you do with your time and effort and energy and movement. So I won't go into much detail. I will leave the details to each and everyone's own logic. Moving on to entertainment. Entertainment is a huge and very big part of the American life. We are, as a collective culture, the most entertained nation on earth, and this is quite disturbing, especially considering that we are dead last in many other things, or approaching being dead last on many other things, such as education, mathematics, science, you name it. I mean, America used to be number one in all those not too long ago, maybe a couple of decades to 50 years ago. Not anymore. We are not able to manufacture many things. Yes, we do come up with things like social media and iPhones. Yes, they have contributed in many ways to the improvement in many areas, but they are by far not as important central and critical inventions that changed the world, such as the electric power transmission, the invention of many
medicines,
many technologies, machines, communication devices. Those all originated elsewhere, and like I said, in the past, America. Yes, there are many inventions going on today, but they are petty in comparison to the inventions from the past and inventions originating elsewhere, where people are not so entertained as they are here. Going back to my main point on entertainment, how to entertain yourself living off the grid, I do believe entertainment, however minute it may be, it is still a necessary and critical part of our lives. It should be a very limited part of our lives. It is a real necessity. We need to, from time to time, disconnect ourselves from the drudgeries and all the stress associated with everyday life. First thing I recommend doing is just to cut off all TV services from TV companies, cable companies, satellite companies. These are just plain and simple not necessary. Cut them off. The funds that you spend on those are very needed in other areas. Not only for yourself to get off the grid, but many areas and other people around you. Many people do not know where their next meal is coming from. Donate that money that you would be spending on TV to those people. They're not hard to find. The next best thing you can do is to cut back on the TV services you pay for. Minimize if it is an absolute necessity that you have those. I can't think of any situation where this is the case, but if you believe you qualify where you need it absolutely, then just cut back. Don't have 5 boxes throughout the house feeding each TV on each room. Cut back to that 1 box and save substantially on your cable bill. But I do recommend and insist that you just get rid of it altogether. Watch free local TV if TV is such a necessity for you. The program is comparable to many of the programs available on paid TV. Most of the programming there is just garbage and of no use to most people attempting to make a difference here on Earth. So do consider that. You can also use the internet for entertainment. It is full of it. You can remain quite entertained for long periods if you look on the internet and just have a internet connection, which is a fraction of what most TV service providers charge for their TV services. So that is the next best thing. Cut off your TV services and use the internet. Do not recommend using the internet entirely for entertainment, as I believe you will be wasting your life away. But it is nevertheless there. Video services do have a lot of entertaining programming there, not to mention a lot of educational programming, which can serve as entertainment. Educational programming, for the most part, does that to me, serves as dual purpose of entertaining me and the ones around me, as well as educating and inspiring. Do think about that. Entertainment does not have to be a complete and utter waste of time. It can be a very useful and constructive experience. Board games can also be an alternative to TV. There are many educational and entertaining and mind-stimulating board games. For example, chess, checkers, some card games, and many of the other games that do challenge the thinking, the mind, can be played in groups, alone, can be played for competition as well. Chess is a game that does, for the most part, challenge critical thinking, logic, and problem-solving skills. I recommend and encourage you to check it out, and it can change your life. if you let it. You can grow chess playing into competition, challenging matches can happen. You can expand to groups, clubs, and make it a very fun, motivating, and mind enticing, encouraging experience. You can also make your own entertainment. You don't only have to consume other people's inventions and other people's products. You can make your own. You can make movies, believe it or not, as simple as they may be. They nevertheless are your own movies. You may be surprised at your movie making skills. You can make shows, puppet shows for example, or cardboard cutout shows with characters. You can read books, surprise. Books are still available, either in paper and or electronic mode, ebooks. You can also make art, however undeveloped your art skills may be. If you like, you can do crafts or participate in any other kind of hobby. Hobbies will consume all of the time that you may have available for entertainment. And you can perhaps do something constructive and even something that may generate an income for you. You can demand free, high-quality entertainment from your service providers. Call them up, make groups, unite, and begin to demand free, high-quality entertainment. And one way to do this, in my personal belief, is to share content. Share in P2P or peer-to-peer websites. Share the content that you have that may be original or even content that may be without limitations from copyright laws. Communication is a very central and core necessity for most individuals. Communication has been with us since the beginning. Thus, it is a necessity today. Use prepaid cell phones if at all possible. Do not get into any kind of contract. Those are a thing of the past, more so now than ever. You can also use prepaid phone service. There are many VoIP or voice over IP services out there that are prepaid. Look them up, research them, get them. They are the next best thing than paying a bill. You can also use mail, which is a practice that is fast dying, but you can still do use paper mail here in the Americas at the very least. The difference between using paper mail and paid services on a monthly basis is that you can decide to pay for that stamp or not. When you are on a monthly service being provided through a contract, you do not have much of a choice once you get into the contract to pay the bill. You have to pay the bill or suffer the consequences, plain and simple. So, as a rule of thumb, avoid all kinds of contract, all kinds of commitments as far as paying and dependence on outside sources. And this is because of the very many reasons I have mentioned in the past. I refer you to the very first few shows of this Living Off the Grid series. Use the internet for email. That is a lot cheaper than using the paper-based mail and is a lot less limited. You can use many of the social media available now, which are free for the most part. Apart from being bombarded by propaganda and commercials, those are still free if you can live with those. You can use free Wi-Fi spots and Wi-Fi connections from many providers like McDonald's, many of the other fast food restaurants, and the coffee shops such as Starbucks and Seattle's Best and many other, like I said. Use free open Wi-Fi from neighbors if you're able and willing to take that bold step. You can even ask your neighbors if you're able to use their internet. That can be an option for you. You may have friendly and reasonable neighbors, even family members that live nearby or even in the same household. You can be off the grid and depend on other people to some extent. You can also use CB or ham radios. You may have to spend money and invest on the technology, but it is, however, a real and very attractive option. Ham, and I'm not sure about the intricacies and details of the technology, but I do invite you to look into it. As far as I can tell, there is a range for those of 20 miles or even better. If those that you communicate with live within that range, there you go. You may have to, again, purchase those, but that is a very attractive and smart option to get off the grid and get rid of your monthly phone or cell phone bill. And by the way, they are a lot more reliable than the phone or cell phone infrastructure in case of a catastrophe or natural disaster. Ham and CB radios will be out there during power outages and communication outages from the big companies. To wrap up the show, I want to go ahead and mention the very real and necessary utility, which is your sewer. Your sewer can be off the grid. You may have to hire a construction crew to put in a septic tank in your property, given that you have one. But it is a very attractive and a very real way to get off the grid, get off the sewer services grid. You may still have to depend on trucks coming out to empty it. A septic tank is nothing but a tank underground that catches and collects and stores all of the human waste, poop, pee, and any kind of human waste you flush down the toilet. You may do the next best thing, which is to limit the amount of waste that you produce. A smart way to do this is just use public facilities. Make sure you keep yourself safe and healthy by taking precautions while using public facilities. Do a little bit of disinfection cleanup, and you should be, for the most part, safe using public facilities as much as you can. Or you can do the next best thing, and is to build yourself or have yourself built a latrine. A latrine is an outside facility, usually its own small structure covered from the sun, with a toilet or a toilet-like device. And this structure is on top of a more or less a big hole underground that collects, catches, and stores human waste shit. So you can have this. This is a real option that you may consider. Okay, and that will wrap up today's show. Today has been a 21st edition of this Living Off the Grid in the City by your host again, Hector Vladimir. Do drop your comments, shoot me a message so you can maintain a communication, keep contact, and help improve the show. And I do hope to see you, or at least attract your attention for the shows and the very many shows I have done in the past. Have yourself a great rest of your day. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please look for the next episode soon, and please ensure to share this with your friends and family. And please like this content and subscribe as a sign of support and for me to continue to provide this type of content to more people like you. Lastly, if you wish to support this content further, please visit the links provided in this publication. Thank you.
Music was Freedom by 32 Stitches and Chunda Harley Bird. NCS release 2022.